flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
So here we are, Friday before the two championship games. I've been doing this for nearly 20 years. And for almost all of the 20, I didn't think there was a chance in hell, Denton, of doing this Friday show before Championship Sunday with our team playing in one of the games. There were a couple of years, two in particular, where there was a glimmer of hope. I'll get to those here in a moment. The show is a busy one here. It is a Football Friday show, but a lot more for obviously all of us. Three guests on the show today. Ben's going to join us at 10:35. We'll get the injury updates. We'll get the projection on what they're going to do along the offensive line without Sam Cosmi. We'll also talk about the status of Jalen Hurts. We'll get Ben's layout for the game and his prediction. At 11, Bill Barnwell from ESPN will jump on with us. Bill wrote a story yesterday about the Jaden Daniels rookie campaign and determined whether or not it was the greatest all-time rookie season for any position. And then Clinton Portis will be with us at 11:35. We've got keys to a win over the Eagles. I'll get to those. We've got predictions on the championship game in Philadelphia. We'll give you guys a chance to weigh in on that. I've got a smell test for Championship Sunday. I have not lost on the smell test, and this is documented. Denton knows it, and most of you do too who listen to the show. I have not had a losing weekend with my picks here on the Friday show in 3.5 months, 14 weeks. We're going to rank the non-quarterbacks in the game, all right? We have the best quarterback. There's no question about it. How would you rank the next top five players in the game? Denton and I will do that. And we've got a lot more. News will include, yes, I'll briefly mention and talk about what I watched last night, Maryland's big win over Illinois, 17th-ranked Illinois on the road. The Caps' big win, Ovechkin getting an empty netter. They've won six in a row. And even something, by the way, interesting in not a great way about the Wizards' loss in L.A., to the Clippers. But I think that this is just the third time in the last two decades that you could legitimately feel like there's a chance. Obviously, we're here already, but I think we felt this way even heading into the postseason. When Gibbs was here, you know, there was such a nostalgic pull from Coach Joe being back in a belief that he had kind of ridden back into town to save us from, you know, the purgatory that we had started to enter at that point. So those 4 years always started with some level of belief. But in 2005, you know, the way they got it going at the end of the year, winning five games in a row, there was a sense that they could make a run when they got to the postseason. And they did. They won a playoff game, and they were close in the divisional round. But even Joe didn't have enough, you know, perfume to cover up all of the Snyder stench. You know, that was the best chance you had during that era because it was, you know, there was a belief from the owner that the coach actually knew more than he did. But even Joe couldn't figure it out. 2012 I mean, there was definite belief heading into that postseason. You know, similar in some ways, but not in most ways to this year. You know, the biggest difference is being that team was owned by Dan. This one isn't. That team had a quarterback that was injured and just wasn't nearly the same from a talent perspective or a capability standpoint as the one we have this year. But they had won 7 games in a row. They were on a roll, and they were up 14-0 in a playoff game at home in the wild card round against Seattle before it all ended in a crumpled mess on that crappy, you know, brown FedEx Field. But really, like, in the 20 years of doing this, and you guys, you know, we could go back through the entire Snyder era. 99 was that first year. I never give him credit for that because he didn't come in and have time to mess it up. But those were the only two that legitimately had a chance. But ultimately, we were just suspending what the reality was, and that is they weren't good enough because they weren't owned well enough. This is new, man. This is new for all of us, even for those of us who lived a different experience during the 80s and early 90s. It was just so long ago. You know, you're talking about a generation and a half ago, right? A generation is 20 years. So more than a generation and a half. The league was different. Football was different. The city that we live in was different. Nobody referred to this area as the DMV back then. Denton, did you know that as a young person? Did you know that the DMV designation, you know, the nickname for our area, the District, Maryland and Virginia, or as somebody said, I'm forgetting who said it, Delaware, Maryland and Virginia? Who said that on a broadcast? Somebody did. Did you know that DMV didn't come around until maybe, I don't know when, honestly, I don't know when it started. I know this, it wasn't how you referred to this city in the 80s or the early 90s. I would say it maybe came around in the late 90s. Somebody could help me with that, but did you know that, Denton? Well, that hasn't been the way we've described this city?
Seeing as I was born in 95, we've only called it the DMV, so no, I did not know that.
Yeah, and you know, you don't remember what it was called in 1995 or 96 or 97 or 98 because you were too young. But I would think that right when you were aware of anything is probably when it started. Obviously, there was just a lot more about the team that was different, you know, the last time we were here. The name, clearly. It is so interesting right now what we are living through. And, you know, a lot of people are happy, there's no doubt. There are a lot of people who are also very conflicted. You know, there's no doubt about that. But nobody can deny that this team is on the verge of being the biggest turnaround and most shocking champion in the history of the NFL, and one of the most stunning and shocking championship teams, if they get there and win it, of all time in any sport. You know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, 4-13, but it's not just 4-13. Okay, the 5-11 Patriots had the same coach when they came back in 2001, and many of the same players. The 99 Rams, which you would really look at and say they were 4-12 in 98, and nobody gave them much of a chance, especially after they lost their starting quarterback Trent Green in the postseason. That was a shocker, but Dick Vermeil was in the third year of being a head coach at that point, second or third year. And they had some similar players. This team changed everything. General manager in front office, head coach in coaching staff, you know, 60% of the roster, and of course, a rookie quarterback who started day one. And that's precisely why their over-under in Vegas was 6.5. And it wasn't, you know, 11.5. Or 10.5. Now, one person legitimately thought, I mean, there were a few people. And yes, I did predict 10-7 and at least a wild card round playoff game before the season began. But that's just because I was the biggest Jaden Daniel fan around, along with, you know, my producer and partner, Denton Day. because we were so in on him, we thought there was a chance they could be better than what most people thought. But nobody outside of this market, and I don't know how many people inside the market, gave him a chance to be even a competitive team. This year started with, you know, the logical position of you just want to find out if the quarterback can play. You just want to know when you get to 17, week 18, 17 full games, that they got it right. And there's a chance that in 2025 and 2026 and 2027, you can become a contender, a winner. You know, even the team that talked about recalibration versus rebuilding, they didn't behave in a way that said we're going for it. There was not an expectation in that building of being where they are today. There's no way. They can talk about it and they can put it up on a board as a goal, but their offseason pretty much told you that this was a figure-it-out year. Now, they didn't want to be non-competitive. They wanted to establish a culture, a way of playing, which they have done. You know, no matter how bad they've played at times defensively, especially against the run, nobody can deny that this team plays hard. This team plays with a high motor. This team plays with high energy. This team has a competitive, you know, badass streak to them. They have a toughness to them. You know, that's the only thing that Quinn promised. Quinn promised, you know, that there was going to be an identity to this team, that we were going to watch this team and we were at the very least going to be able to walk away and say that team plays physically and it plays hard. I remember after the opener saying that wasn't very physical and it didn't seem like they played very hard. Of course, it was a brutally hot day and it was the opener, but that's the last time. From that point forward, not only has this team played hard with a relentless motor and energy level, with a badass competitive streak, but they've been a smart team. I mean, how many teams with a rookie quarterback just play game after game without making mistakes? They don't make mistakes. They never beat themselves, and they're always ready. I mean, other than really the Dallas game at home, what game can you point to and say, yeah, they weren't ready for that game? I tossed the first Philadelphia game out. That's a Thursday night. Thursday night football stinks. A lot of teams look like they're not ready for Thursday night games, especially when they play a game 4 days earlier that is a down-to-the-wire, you know, epic, which is what they played against Pittsburgh the Sunday before. Tough team. Yeah, the Steelers were really good in that moment that they played them. But, man, we are on the verge. We're already in book territory. You know all the beat reporters, and it's typically a beat reporter that ends up writing a book. You know, somebody, or a columnist, you know, over the years, it's typically a writer. You know, it's a newspaper writer, it's a newspaper, a reporter or a columnist, and, you know, covering the team on a daily basis and really getting to know everybody inside that building, there's already a book. Even if they lose Sunday, there's already a book. Because 4-13 to 14-6, if they lose Sunday, is still an amazing turnaround. Look, the book could just be on Jaden himself and the rookie season he had. If they win Sunday, though, there's definitely a really good book. even before they play against Kansas City or Buffalo. Tommy, on the podcast yesterday, he said the 69 Miracle Mets, because they were so awful in 68, is the greatest turnaround and the most incredible, shocking, stunning championship win in sports history. And I think a lot of people will point to that and say that it is. In football, man, because of the one-and-done nature, man, is it hard. You know, it is. And when you're talking about a rookie quarterback, they had, as Tommy pointed out, they had a lot of their pitchers coming back the following year, and a couple of good ones, you know, including Tom Seaver, you know, and a couple of others. I'm forgetting their names now. I'm not a Mets guy from 69. Kuzman, maybe. But Washington started a rookie at quarterback. This is what will kind of separate it from anything else. And he had to carry the team. This wasn't defensive-led. This wasn't tough defense, great special teams, and man, can they run the ball. You know, Brock Purdy's playing well, but San Francisco's got the best defense and the best run game in the NFL. Washington hasn't had anywhere near the best defense, and Washington has had at times a very good run game, but the quarterback's been a big part of the run game. This has been a quarterback-led turnaround for the ages, all time. And we get to watch a championship game Sunday in Philadelphia with our team in it. It's still last night. I'm watching the Maryland-Illinois game on FS1. And they got the full screen. Not the full screen, but they got the ticker at the bottom, you know, rolling through during the game, you know, showing Commanders versus Eagles Sunday, 3 p.m., Fox, NFC Championship game. I kind of wish it said Washington, Philadelphia, but that's just me. But anyway, just the idea, and I said this after on Monday's show when, you know, you had Jim Nantz and Mike Tirico on the Sunday games, you know, at the end of their games, just putting up and talking over the full screen graphic of the Final Four. This is a special Sunday in the NFL. It is, to me, the last real feeling of a football weekend. It is every year. And Washington's on the biggest stage it's been on in 33 years. And the bottom line is there isn't anybody that isn't giving them a chance to win this game. Everybody that's watched them and everybody that's watched Philadelphia understands that if Washington wins, it's not a shocker. They are a team right now playing with so much confidence. They walk into these places, they expect to win. You know, the Tampa and Detroit games were so impressive from that standpoint. They're vulnerable in different areas of their team, but they don't believe it. They play to win, they are competitive, and they're fearless. And they're feeling it right now. We see this in sports all the time. The sum of the parts is greater than the whole. And then, of course, there is the quarterback. And he will be the best one on the field Sunday in Philadelphia. If it's about quarterback and then maybe secondarily about coach, Washington's going to the Super Bowl. All right, Ben Standig at 10:35, Bill Barnwell at 11, Clinton Portis will join us at 11:35. I know he is pumped up about this. Keys to a win over the Eagles. My keys coming up next.